Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. Hey, look, I'm probably not the guy you'd pick as the poster child for hair loss treatment. I think most of you know I lost that battle a long time ago. But here's the thing. I wish Hims had been around when I was still in the fight, because Hims makes it genuinely easy. We're talking 100% online access to doctor-trusted treatments, finasteride, minoxidil, chews, serums, sprays, oral medication, stuff that can actually stop further hair loss and regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hassle, no surprise costs. If you still got something to work with up there, guys, don't wait until you end up like me. Hims makes it simple. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Zabe. That's Hims.com/Zabe for your free online visit. Hims.com/Zabe. Featured products include compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride.
This is the ZabeCast, hosted by a Pop-Tart loving kid from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia. And since you probably have other, more important podcasts to waste your time on, screw those AirPods in tight and let's go.
Here we go. Wow, it's a Thursday already, February 26, 2026. Thank you for joining me. Got some of the OGs today. Armin Sarian and Brian Butch will join us here in just a few minutes. They're going to be, at least Armin's going to be at Zabe Vegas at the end of the month. You can join us as well. We're not full yet. I think we're going to get close to 64 people when it's all said and done. If you want more information on our get-together on the Sweet 16 weekend, that Thursday and Friday, March 26 and 27, just email me at zabe@yahoo.com and I will send it your way. Butchie may be calling the Badgers in the second weekend of the tournament. Let's knock on wood and hope for that to be the case. Brian also leads a complicated, busy, three young kids kind of a life as a budding father of the year. Yes, he's going for the trophy again this year. I've told him, you can't win it. You cannot win father of the year. There's always going to be some other dad. Some asshole who just does way more than even you do as a father. So do it for the sake of what makes you feel good, not trying to win the prize. But I digress. I just got off a call today with the marketing team at MGM Grand in Vegas. They were wonderful, very supportive. I believe we're going to get great support from the resort for a little live podcast out there prior to the tip-off of the games on Thursday and Friday. Mr. X is coming. Charch is coming down from Utah. Like I said, Armin, possibly Butchie, possibly Chris Nockey, Maryland basketball analyst. He's threatened to come on out, so let's knock on wood. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I had a good call today with the team at MGM, and I believe we are going to have a great time. I know we'll have a great time. I think it could be even better than what I had thought. Before we get into Armin and Butch, let me just talk about this USA Hockey and the State of the Union story and address it smack dab head on. I think it was a mistake by the women to say no, but I'm not losing sleep over it. I'm not going to build any great tirade upon it. I believe it was a mistake because this is a once-in-a-lifetime type of deal. You know me, I love that Talking Heads song, Once in a Lifetime. The moment has come, the moment has passed. I understand that the women said, we appreciate the invite, but we have previous commitments, academic commitments, and professional commitments. There is a women's professional hockey league that they have to go back to. I get all that, and I'm a big believer in fulfilling your commitments. You make a commitment, it is ironclad. But there's always some exceptions. It's one day. I would have broken those commitments, and I would have gone just to get a standing ovation in the people's chamber in front of a nationwide audience. I would have done it if I were the women to be able to hang out with the guys, with the cute boys that play hockey, of which there's a lot of commingling already. Even though some of the ladies, some of the gals, they like girls, and that's great, by the way. USA women's team captain Hillary Knight just proposed to her girlfriend. Wonderful. But the point was, you could have gotten a ride on Air Force Two or whatever plane was sent to pick you up. You would have been given a standing ovation. You may not care at all. You may hate the current holder of the office. But you were there for what would have been a standing ovation by the United States of America, by the nation itself. And you would have gotten to meet and have photo ops with many of your favorite Democrats, senators, and congresspeople. So yeah, they should have broken. If it's me, you break those commitments, you go. And you put aside the fact that, you know what, this guy's a dipshit. I hate this guy. But there is a strong element that will just absolutely not entertain the notion of normalizing Trump in any way, shape, or form. Never mind the fact he's a very popular, twice-elected president. And he's not a professional politician either. Did not have to get into politics and nearly get assassinated. He was already rich. He could have been golfing and living out his life. But none of that resonates with a certain element, a certain crowd, a certain kind of people. And it's not just people who vote Democrat. I'm sure there's some Democrats that are like, yeah, I hate him. He's a fucking buffoon. But you know what? I will go to the State of the Union because it's a chance to get a great moment to be applauded for what we did at the Olympics. Instead, the women went and partied with Flavor Flav. Flavor Flav, a known recidivist woman beater, which is something. Multiple domestic violence raps on his record. But hey, do what you think is best. I don't really care per se. I think it was a missed thing. Now, that said, the depths of which some people are taking this is just nuts. There are a number of sports writers who are now, oh, politics. No, not these politics. Politics bad. Because whenever conservatives say to a, you know, Democrat or left-leaning athlete who wants to get into a political discussion online, social media, or after games, like, say, Steve Kerr does all the time, Greg Popovich, before he fell ill, did all the time, Stan Van Gundy as well. The same left-wing writers and media members happily go, well, they should be talking about these important issues. They have a platform. It's their duty to speak on what's right and what's wrong. And then all of a sudden, the shoe is on the other foot. Oh, no. You can't be doing that. For example, Jerry Brewer for The Athletic writes, it's nice to be feted as a winner, as the U.S. Olympic team has been. But who is celebrating you and why they're doing it matters more. Athletes would be wise to recognize that in this climate, that celebration is easily repurposed into political capital. Everything's political capital. Of course, politicians snuggling up to athletes and well-liked people in society is always going to be, to a certain extent, a political prop. Now, a White House visit is a little different. Now, there have been people who have boycotted White House visits, Democrats and some Republican athletes. Tim Thomas of the Bruins got raked over the coals when he wouldn't visit Obama. But a White House visit is more of a, hey, chum it up with the president kind of a thing. It's less than I would think just going to the State of the Union. But these writers are just now suddenly go, oh, you can't do this. You can't, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't cozy up. Okay. It's just ridiculous. Sally Jenkins also, former Washington Post writer, former, I don't know who she currently writes for, New York Times, maybe The Athletic. Athletic is the New York Times. Sally was just so on a ridiculous, embarrassing, please stop, Sally. You're ruining your reputation, what's left of it. I really had respected Sally for a long time, but she went on this multi-tweet rant about how, and she was claiming essentially that women's basketball was more popular than hockey in America. And she cherry-picked the television number for a Caitlin Clark game on a weekend network game in the middle of summer in the WNBA against no competition, against the average hockey rating across many more games. I forget the numbers of games between, you know, the NHL played like 1,442 games during a season, the WNBA 310 or something like that. People also pointed out, yeah, you know, the revenue of the NHL is still 33 times that of the WNBA. So what are you trying to, what point are you trying to make here? But she went on and on and on. The likes of which you're saying to yourself, have you lost your mind? And the answer is yeah. When it comes to Trump, she's lost her mind, like many people have, which is unfortunate. Maybe she'll find it someday and go, God, you know what? That was a little bit stupid of me to try to pretend like, oh, look at this. To be so unhappy and divisive. I tell you this, we're a long, long way from 1980 and the USA men's hockey team for the Miracle on Ice. I did see the documentary on Netflix. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And I had seen the Ross Greenberg one on HBO, and I thought, oh my God, greatest hour of television ever. That's all we need. That right there. Well, Netflix, you sons of guns, you did it, didn't you? I should do a deep dive on it, but let me just quickly hit on it, on some of the things that stuck out to me. Number one is the assets. My God, the assets they got. There are, and I'm going to get nerdy here, but there are some absolutely gorgeous, considering, by the way, the day and age technology-wise we lived in, there are some incredible and gorgeous high frame rate assets they have of the hockey games in 1980. I'm talking probably 120 frames per second, smooth, slow motion, in focus, great exposure, beautiful colors because it was film. Maybe even some slower than that. They might have also, let's be honest, processed a lot of this stuff. I'm sure they cleaned up a lot of the very shaky and or glitchy or garbly Super 8, 8mm VHS caliber footage that had, you know, they had found and researched and pulled out of the woodwork. But, oh my God, that was great. Seeing the faces of the 80 Hockey Olympic members watching their own highlights, watching video clips from news stories that they may have never seen, and seeing their face light up and their eyes glisten over like a freshly surfaced sheet of ice by a Zamboni was absolutely magic. They talked to the guy who was the last guy cut from the team, much like Herb Brooks was in 1960 before they won the gold medal at Squaw Valley. They talked to Janizak, the backup goalie, who never played a minute of ice time because Jim Craig was better and he was the golden boy that helped them win. So much good emotional stuff. I was crying 5 minutes in, or more accurately, holding back my tears on the plane so that my daughter wouldn't look at me like, Dad, what's the matter? And I had multiple moments throughout in which I was just choked up. But wow, what a unifying thing. And oh, by the way, politics back then. Who was in the locker room on the phone to get the president hooked up with the team? Walter Mondale, who I think was a special envoy to the games at the time. Who was on the phone with the team? And do they have audio of it? That's right, Jimmy Carter. Were the players respectful? Did they hang up on him? Did they say, oh, no, I'm a Republican, you're a Democrat, click, goodbye? No. We've come so far from them. And by the way, Carter was a shitty president. I mean, the shittiest. And the country was in the goddamn dumper, pardon my French, back in the day, in 1980. And they chronicle that quite acutely during the documentary. But it was so good. And I want to spend a good chunk of time on Mike Ruzzioni's upbringing and his family and the house he grew up in. I will not spoil it for you, but if you saw the documentary, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Oh my God. And then there's a larger arc to that about how it's interesting seeing young boys become old men and how that arc of time and life and aging is something that, as a 58-year-old almost, I feel like I'm acutely in right now. So we'll do a deeper dive. I'll make sure somebody who has seen the documentary and is into the aesthetics of it all and can be in touch with their emotions a bit better than, say, Andy Poland. No offense. You know how Andy's like, yeah, no, it's good. Yeah, nice documentary. Much of the stuff had already been gone over, but yeah, there's a few new things. That's Andy. Andy is not going to wax poetic about the more deeper life meaning and or the aesthetics of the time. But anyway, we're so far from that because now our men's hockey team wins gold and is savaged by certain elements of our media for daring to even let the FBI director come in and have a beer with them or agreeing to go to the State of the Union to be honored. And Eileen Gu chooses to represent a brutally repressive communist dictatorship in China while getting paid from them. And she is on the cover of Time magazine and has received basically nothing but glowing press. We are in the bizarro world right now. Also, when it comes to crazy, how about this? Dylan Strome is in the NHL, and the NHL tweeted a photo of him with his daughter playing with little princess figurines, sort of touting the whole girl dad thing. The responses to that tweet were unbelievable because they were like, yeah, well, so much for being with your daughter since you support a rapist, pedophile, homophobe, convicted felon of a president. Dylan Strome is Canadian, number one. And number two, he wasn't even at the Olympics. But that did not stop multiple people, and they've got the receipts, from launching into an attack, just seeing him as a hockey player, and assuming he must have been at the Olympics and that he must have been American. How dare you? What are you teaching your young daughter? People have lost their damn minds.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
With that said, let's get her going, talking some college basketball and more with my guys from Wisconsin.
Oh my God, look at what the cat dragged in. It is Brian Butch and Armin Sarian today on the ZabeCast. Boys, thank you for taking some time to be with me today. Butchie, you're West Coast Butchie right now, aren't you?
I am West Coast. It's what time is it here? It's early here. That's all I know. I've been up for a while though. It's
so you're playing at UCLA tonight?
No, Oregon.
Oregon.
Yeah, okay. I had a chance to go see the Oregon track and field yesterday, and then that was amazing, by the way. Like, stupid amount of money. Must be nice to make that kind of money.
Good to have you. Armin, you are just done with your morning show.
Yeah.
On 9:20 a.m. in Milwaukee.
That's the oldest, yes. Right? Yeah. Fox Sports Radio 920 Milwaukee, and we're on Fox Sports 1070 Madison.
And you can get the show via digital methods as well.
Yeah, absolutely. The iHeartApp podcast. And as well, we're on now because all the kids are YouTube, X, and Facebook.
Love it. You, Billy, Drew, and Luddy.
Just you, me, Billy, and Drew. Luddy fills in, but yeah.
Okay, so there you
Luddy's
go.
Filled in. Hunter filled in last week when Drew was off. And all excited to stay up for Wisconsin, Oregon tonight.
No, you're not going to stay up because you've already sent text messages out yesterday. You know, I get up at 3:30 in the morning now. I get up at 3:30 in the morning. Dave, like, we didn't do that. Like, I thought it was very
comical. Something. Yeah, you did, but no one ever had to deal with a 10 p.m. local tip. That's outrageous. Now, it's not your fault. It's because the Big Ten goes West Coast and all this stuff now. But 10 p.m. local tip, from my records, I've tried to look as deep as I can. I don't have all the resources available.
My records.
It's the latest tip time in the history of Wisconsin basketball, locally at least.
Really? Where do you keep?
Even during an NCAA tournament game?
They haven't gone past 10, I think. I think they've been like 9:40 or something. Or at least there's been other 10 o'clock games. But you know what? Like I said, I could be wrong. I just did a Google search.
All right. So Butchie's out west. Armin is in a spare room at the studios there. And he's coming to us today, Butchie, on his new laptop. He said, I got a new laptop. And I go, oh, you finally got a Mac, huh? And he goes, no. And he said he bought local from a local computer store in Milwaukee. Do tell.
Milwaukee PC is multiple locations. They've been doing it for a while. And
not a paid sponsorship, but it could be.
No, I would love to. I bought my computers there before, but it's been like the brand, you know, Hewlett Packard and all these things, but they make their own Milwaukee PC ones now. So
it's incredible. Why did you buy a laptop for $100 on Amazon or Temu for that matter?
I'm not buying them on Temu. I'm not buying on Temu.
Why?
It's not reliable, Butch. How do I know what's going to work on Temu? I'm not buying a computer on Temu. Okay. The certain things, maybe I'll buy a lampshade or something.
Have you bought anything from Temu?
Yeah, but not much. We literally, I think, got a lampshade because we moved a few months ago. We had to buy stuff.
You didn't go to Mequon Shades and Lights and support local there?
You know, some people talk about it. Some people be about it. All right. And I went to Milwaukee PC and my laptop was breaking, literally. It had like a broken hinge on the flap.
Doesn't the company give you one?
They did a few years ago. I can't log in.
I can't log in.
Anyway, they threw a free mug, so that sealed it for me.
Yeah. Did you know that I got an email from iHeart yesterday?
Saying?
That I owe them equipment.
Ooh.
And I'm like,
I'm learning about that, Butch.
I'm like, I owe you equipment. I said, I gave that back to Dougie Fresh a long time ago. I go, what in the heck? Now, Doug sent an email and said, hey, I'll take care of this. But I'm like, I've been unemployed now for about 4 months from you guys. Why are you now?
You owe me a paycheck.
Like, I was just going to say, like, right. why are you now sending me an email?
What are you going to do with those laptops? I had one of their MacBook Pros, which I requested through the company, and it was the biggest, most expensive one, the 15.8-inch one, right? Problem was, it came tethered with its own IT phone home to headquarters. And once they fired me, I asked a buddy, I go, can we untether this and I can just pocket it? And he goes, yeah, be a little dicey. He's like, the laptop is hardwired to try to phone home.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. One thing to take, you know.
I don't think they were missing this piece of equipment whatsoever. And they're certainly not adding any more humans, Butchie, to that would need a laptop.
True.
It's all AI, voice tracking, automation, and more. So it would have been a nice parting gift. They should have said, yeah, we pulled the rug out from under you and the whole show and the station, but keep the laptop on us.
No.
You don't think that would have been appropriate? It would have been nice.
Give them their stuff back. Yeah, it's fine.
Oh, you're lecturing me. You're the one they had to go hound. You're the one they're like,
I gave it back.
I gave it back. No, you didn't. You said, I don't have anything. And then
I don't need a Microsoft. It's not even an Apple. It was a Dell. I don't need a Dell.
Gentlemen, right. The Broadcast Supply Worldwide catalog is available for all of you.
BSW. Right? Love BSW.
You can get some nice stuff here. All right.
Absolutely. Get a Mackie board, perhaps. Get some Audio Technica headsets.
You know what? They sell these things. You can buy
maybe
equipment.
Maybe get Armin an actual mic that he can plug into the computer so he doesn't have to use his computer audio as a podcast.
That'd be wonderful.
Listen, do you want me on or not? Okay, this is what you got. Now, you know what's funny about these catalogs and stuff? And they used to have something called the RTIR, the Radio TV Interview Report. You know about that, Zabe?
Yeah.
Where they get any guy with a book out, right?
Right.
We used to go through that. They can hand out catalogs for that. They can hand out catalogs for equipment. They can't have now catalogs to come up with good takes. They still can't. You know, you still have to come up with those on your own.
Well, the world is awash in shit takes. And we see them all the time on Twitter. But there's also good ones out there. And there's also really, really funny tweets that every now and then I come across. Here's one that I think you guys would enjoy. And I'm not sure if he actually said it, but it sounds too good for me not to believe. The new CEO of Red Lobster, who has saved your beloved brand, Armin. Right?
Apparently.
You love Red Lobster, right?
Well, Josh loved it more.
Red Lobster is trash.
Josh loved it more than me.
Okay. The new Red Lobster CEO, who's a very bright, young, African-American entrepreneur, said, "Endless Shrimp is never coming back because, quote, I know how to do math."
He's right. That was bad for the company.
Endless, almost anything endless is bad.
Not the endless pasta bowl, because pasta is cheaper than shrimp, and you can make them as much as you want of it.
Sure.
The Olive Garden endless pasta bowl is fine. And the same thing with their salad and breadsticks, right? You have to know what you can offer as a loss leader. This is the same problem with Vegas, but Zabe, don't get me started because we're going there soon.
We are.
But you can't offer your best item endless. That's not necessary. You can't just go in the kitchen and need some more. You can need more dough. You can't need some more fresh shrimp, right?
Well, it's not fresh, is it?
Yeah.
Well, fresh, frozen. You're right. They weren't going and fishing the Milwaukee River for the one in Greenfield to get fresh
they
shrimp.
Catch shrimp in the Milwaukee River. They catch something.
Yeah, but
else.
You got to get it somehow.
Hey,
I mean, how do these people think they get sushi in Oklahoma? I'm sorry. I'm just saying, everybody wants a cuisine, but everyone says I want it fresh. Okay, well, do you know how much it costs to fly in tuna? People don't think about these things. They only think about what's good for them.
All right, let's talk college basketball. Armin has committed to Zabe Vegas in less than 4 weeks. It's going to be epic, Armin, to have you out there. We got Charch on board officially.
Can't wait.
Mr. X, you're going to get to meet Mr. X. You and Mr. X will hit it off quite nicely. Butchie has been a soft maybe, but I've already kind of scratched him anyway because of other commitments. Do I keep the hope alive, Butchie, you can make it out, or no?
Well, I think you keep the hope alive, but this Badger team is starting to play some really good basketball.
They are.
That is where the hope has gone south now. All of a sudden, you're looking around saying, well, this really could be a second weekend team.
Like, they're a perfect candidate to make a second weekend in terms of teams you wouldn't expect, right?
Right. And is that the only thing that would prevent you from coming out, Butchie?
That's the question.
Or is there family obligations?
No, I think that might be the only thing. I got to look at flights. I haven't looked at flights yet.
I have an appearance fee for you. You know that.
Well, I know. I do.
Come on, Butch. You got miles.
Talk to the flight director, Armin.
I've been tracking what you got to do, and you haven't been doing it, but I don't blame you because you can't buy a flight because you can't commit to it. So you're in kind of a screwed position.
Correct.
I was tracking the flight. Now you can do a Google Flight Tracker. I was tracking it from Milwaukee, O'Hare, Midway, to Vegas, to Rock, to even I looked at Appleton, too. You got to use the flight tracker, and when that thing alerts you that it's dropped above a level, you just jump on it. And that's your first gamble of every Vegas trip. The first gamble of every Vegas trip is absolutely when do I buy the ticket?
I'm not going to worry about a $50 change. I'm just trying to figure out when I can book this.
Well, I'm balling on a budget. That's $50. That's five more games I can bet. So,
amen to that. And by the way, Butchie, you are worried about a $50 change because you're a man who plays the game of getting the best deal possible. And I
got it. Yeah, but I'm not going to lose sleep. I know, like, this is not a situation of playing the best game, right? Like, this is a situation of, you know, the cards already dealt. I know what I'm dealing with here. It's going to be a last second, either I'm in or I'm out type deal.
Yeah.
All right. We'd love to have you. I want your guys' opinion on this, and I'm working on my camera here. Let me get this fixed. Oh, no, you can see me, right?
You're good. I got you.
All right, we're good. All right. So, apparently, Zach Brown has been enlisted to create a song that's going to become the anthem for March Madness on CBS and TNT. I'm going to play it for you now. You tell me if you want to smash it or trash it. This would be an alternate theme to the traditional da 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 da.
Welcome to March. Let's dance.
Every night, baby, we should be dancing. No. We got a short time to give it away.
Okay, I like it because I like Zach Brown.
I do too, but I don't like
it. I went to see him live. The only time I've been to Wrigley Field was a Zach Brown concert.
And?
It was great. He's an amazing musician and performer. I
don't
like
that song.
Yeah, but...
Or the snippet of the song.
Anytime you say replacing the theme song of CBS College Basketball, I'm automatically rebuking it with extreme prejudice. Now, that's not a bad little tune he did. He's a talented man. The ditty's fine.
Is this song Give It Away part of his, has he already written this song? Is it part of his stuff?
That was what my question was going to be. Is this part of something already?
Basketball.
I can look it up.
I feel like this is part of something.
Yeah, okay. You look it up on your little Fisher-Price computer there and tell me what it says, Armin, as I press forward. Butchie, we have a bigger...
Well, the internet's the same on this as it is on your computer.
Not the processing speed, Armin.
It's from his album, Love and Fear, Give It Away.
Okay, so it's a repurposed song.
I believe, yeah.
We have a bigger problem, Butchie, which is the Miami University problem.
Yes.
The Red Hawks are 28-0. They're only the seventh team since the NCAA expanded to 64 teams in the tournament to even get to 28-0. And yet everyone says they better not slip once, because if they do, they're out.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that at all. They've done this. They've won that. They play this schedule. This is what we're going to see in college basketball in general right now, because nobody's going to play these teams because there's not enough benefit for the net and everything else. So Miami of Ohio, they tried to schedule a bunch of teams. Nobody would play them. That's the reality of where we're at with college basketball. So just based on principle, if you're, you know, the committee, you've got to throw them in the tournament. Now, the other thing is the bubble is really – taking a big hit. Auburn lost last night. Indiana lost to Northwestern last night.
Oh, shit. No call at the end, by the way.
Oh, that was a terrible
soft bubble, though, Butch.
Huh?
It's kind of a soft bubble.
Well, I mean, that proves my point for Miami of Ohio more than anything.
But like, they're not. But are they on the bubble?
All these teams that it should be taking care of business, none of them are, and Miami of Ohio still winning. If they go undefeated in the conference tournament and lose in the conference tournament, I still think they should get in. Mm-hmm. I do.
You know, this is an interesting problem, and it's going to become a bigger story than I think people realize. This is going to be a battle for the soul of college basketball and what it means. And Miami of Ohio is going to be absolutely in the crosshairs of it for what Butch said. Because on the surface, Butch, I agree with you. You know, by the principle of what we know to be what matters in sports, a team that's won every game except one, let's say they're 30-1 at that point, right? You should give them an at-large bid for the tournament, right? But the problem is, based on the way we've standardized the metrics, they really aren't a bubble team. I mean, they're not even close, really, in my opinion, because of the strength of schedule and all those things, and how, you know, their KenPom rating's 83 or something like that. So on one hand, you're like, it would be unfair to even give them an at-large bid if you're trying to play by the right rules that you set has been your standard.
Possibly what? What could their record be? 32-1 when it's all said and done?
In theory, right? But I do agree with Butch that it's almost wrong to tell a team, you know, you don't deserve to be in a tournament. You've won every game. But you say the thing I don't know, Butch, and maybe you know better than me.
Did they duck some people, Butchie?
That's my question. Do you know, Butch, they tried scheduling and they couldn't? Because that's,
well, that's what Travis Steele said. Now, whether that's the case or not, right. I don't. I mean, I don't have conversations with Travis Steele. I don't know. But I would assume they're still trying. I would assume they're still trying to schedule those because it's good for them. They know. They knew when they didn't have what their schedule played out that they were going to have to do something absolutely crazy like they are to have a chance here.
But you know what? When we say they played nobody, it's not narrative in this case. They really haven't. Akron is I think, in their conference, the only team that's got a higher KenPom than them, and they've got five losses. That says something. Their non-conference strength of schedule rating is 360. Now, there's only 364 teams in college basketball.
Jesus, 360.
But, winning, but at some point, how much does winning matter? People don't bring up the point, and you know this, Butch. KenPom only doesn't really care about winning and losing. KenPom is a measure of 40 minutes of every minute you put on the basketball court is one large game, right? So you can win a game by one, and that's almost the same as losing a game by one.
That hurts you in the net, but yes.
But their net's a lot better. So how the committee decides to go forward with them if they lose a game is going to be interesting. That's why the committee's got to be praying that they win the MAC because they don't want to deal with this problem. It will be a problem from hell for college basketball.
All right. How many teams do you think can cut the nets down with one shining moment playing in the background, Butchie? Give me the team.
I think there's 16. I think it's that wide open. Now, I think there's three teams.
16?
I do. I think there is – when I look at, in general right now, like Michigan I think is elite. I think Arizona's elite. I think Duke you can have put in that conversation.
Michigan,
now,
Arizona, Duke, that's three. You've got 13 more teams.
I think it's more wide open than ever. When you look at just what
16
they've
kept, teams that can win six games?
I think Purdue can
March?
Do it. I think Purdue can do it. I think Houston can do it, even though we've seen them struggle. I think Connecticut can do it. I think
Kansas?
Florida can do it.
Kansas?
I think Kansas can do it. I agree. I think Iowa State can do it.
By the way, I want Kansas in the championship game only to have Darren Peterson ask out right after hitting a three to tie the game in the last.
Can you imagine Butch tapping the ball?
I mean, Peterson's tapped out of multiple games now.
I know. That to me is unbelievable.
Well, that's where money's changing.
He's yelling at him going, no, you stay in the game.
Yeah, last game, you stay in.
I give that credit for bouncing back against Houston.
I'll go 10, though, here, Zabe. 10.
You'll 10. Go 10, okay.
Because the only reason it's 10, and this was a week ago, I thought it was like 14, 16 teams. Texas Tech, they're out. When you lose JT Tobin to the ACL injury, like they're out of play. BYU with Richie Saunders, him being injured, I think they're out. I thought they could have made a run as far as that. I still think there's some other teams there that you look at. Maybe Arkansas can make a push.
What about Virginia?
Virginia's an interesting –
They've been good this year. Group. People don't realize that. They've been good this year.
Well, Virginia Duke, I think, is coming up either tonight or and Saturday, or it's coming up here.
Virginia winning six games again. To cut down the nets. Come on.
Zabe, how many losses do they have on the season?
I don't know, man. You're the ones that are watching this stuff right now. I'm about to get into college basketball right now. I see the calendar turning to March. I'm like, I'm about to get in right now.
But Butch, what's the thing? It's top 20 in offense and defense, and KenPom have won the last how many national titles?
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
So Virginia's 23rd and 16th. That's not bad. And you know, one team that's fairly highly rated that I don't think is going to do it is Nebraska. I don't believe in them. I'm sorry, Butch.
Why don't you believe in Nebraska?
I don't believe in their offensive consistency. I think they've won a lot of nice games. They've had a great year. But I just don't think it's going to be consistent enough against the big boys. That's just my thought. Not
the
saying
big
they are
is it
good.
The big boys?
You're talking about, if we're talking about cutting down nets,
they've
it's
beaten
a high
Illinois.
Standard. What's that?
I said they've beaten Illinois.
I know they beat Illinois. A lot of teams have beaten each other. That doesn't mean that, yes, if you just go based on Wisconsin beat Illinois. Illinois beat Purdue. Everybody, and guess what? I mean, TCU beat Wisconsin. I don't think TCU's any good. So you can't just go by that. Sorry.
All right. Luckily, we'll have a big bracket. All the teams will be in there. They'll play each other in an orderly fashion over the course of 3.5 weeks in March. And it's going to be glorious. Today's podcast brought to you by Ken Pomeroy and his KenPom rankings. Armin Sarian, big fan of KenPom. Look at Armin's face light
up. You got a Ken Pom deal?
Read. No, I got no Ken Pom deal. I'm reading it because you've dropped Ken Pom so many fucking times.
I thought you really did. I was so excited because I want my $20 subscription paid for.
That's right. Subscribe to the Ken Pom rankings yourself and become as smart about college basketball as Armin Sarian.
As Armin.
Go to KenPom.com. That's Ken Pomeroy, your world-renowned basketball statistician.
You also have Bartorvik, right, bitch? The T-Rank.
T-Rank.
Okay. Can we switch to the Packers for a second?
Yes.
And Armin, you're going to have to sit and wait to be punched into the game on this because first I want to get with Butchie on this.
Fair.
Brian, if you and I were still doing the show we once did, I would be guns a-blazing on this Rich Bisaccia fuck-up by the Packers. This is one of the most unbelievable things I think I've seen in a long time, and it points to dysfunction and pussiness by this franchise on multiple levels. You know those the film footage of our ships in World War II, the battleships with the guns? Boom, boom, boom. Just one after another. That would be me right now. They were going to keep this guy who was wildly overpaid, had bad special teams units, and then he quits on them and leaving them flat-footed, having missed out on any number of other potential special teams coordinators. And they're now spinning it as
spinning it.
A good thing because we don't have to rush. What a fuck up.
The spin is what gets me now the most. Like, okay, some things you're not in charge of. Like, you're in charge of keeping him. You decided. You're not in charge of if he decides he wants to quit. That's on him. So then, but like, to sit here and spin all day yesterday, well, you know, I think this was really good because it allows us to really evaluate what we need to do. No. It's okay. These things right here, these mics, like, you can get out and be somewhat honest at times. Like, you know, yeah, it does put us a little bit in bind, but I trust our staff in evaluating what we need to evaluate and who we need to evaluate and finding the right guy. Now, are we behind the eight ball? Absolutely, we probably are. That's the reality of what kind of how this played out. Not ideal for the Green Bay Packers, but we are built to handle adversity, and we will do. Like, there's a wording you could put versus, I'm really glad this happened. Like,
according to Goody,
I'm really glad that my wife was sleeping around on me. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think that's really a good thing for our relationship. Yeah. Like,
this gives us time to evaluate. Bitch, you should have been evaluating the entire season. Every day is an evaluation. How come it took so long to figure out that those units he was coaching sucked and were a negative for you? Evaluate. You got time to evaluate now. They're also saying, well, no, he apparently wants to pursue other opportunities. He's 65. It's fucking retirement age. What are we talking about?
What opportunities?
He missed the cycle to be hired by anybody else himself. Other opportunities.
When you're under contract, this is the other thing. Like, I'm out. I'm good.
I would be guns a-blazing on this to the point that there'd be a meeting. Because, you know, Red Hot would be like, oh, boy, Packers have called me. You're going a little hard on them, Zabe. You know, they are our partner. We are a rights holder. All right, Armin, punch into the game here, my friend.
Well, they're our rights holder. Okay.
I think the problem is, like, you don't know. The relationship must not have been that good with him and LaFleur or the front office if they had no idea he was thinking about leaving in a month and a half. That would be my biggest concern.
Did the team dirty, Armin?
Well, I think it's possible that he just
what
didn't
mean
want
it's to possible?
Work for – well, then
who,
they say
– yes.
Who quits a month later with no warning after all the replacements you could have hired?
Yeah, no. So that's what I mean. Now, then you also have to ask yourself, what other opportunities is he pursuing? They made it sound like he would – at first I thought it was going to be, well, he's thinking about retiring or it might be an opportunity. It said this next opportunity better not be in the NFL. Because if it is, that's a really bad sign about what the relationship with the Packers. If it's to go to a college or go to, you know, teach a college class even, like, you know, other opportunities or be a consultant or be a start his own podcast network, that's different. But if it's to work, to be the same position laterally somewhere else, which I don't see how you can do it this late, that's sort of a bad sign. The problem is I've never experienced a guy except maybe like Jeff Fisher, who's had a divergence in how people feel about him as fans on the outside as an analyst and how people in the NFL, colleagues and players feel about him.
Yeah, the players. When Keyshawn Nixon tweeted a broken heart, when news broke that he was out.
Yeah.
The first 50 comments, Butchie, were absolute savage.
No, savagery. Which kind of like, people are stupid if you think you know more about it than this guy that actually played for him are. Well, that's like someone telling Butch how they should feel about his own coach that is only on their computer. But then on the flip side, it's like, well, you are judged by your unit's performance, aren't you? And clearly that's the role. But you can't find one person, coach, player, anyone, that doesn't say anything except he's the greatest there ever thing was.
Of course they said great things about him. Butchie, explain to Armin why a lot of times players like coaches. Because they're
There's a variety of reasons, Armin, right? Like, they can connect with them. They feel like they've got their best. Like, there's a lot of different reasons for the case. But the results have to be based. And, like, Keyshawn Nixon with the heartbroken. Like, I'm sorry, you need a better player than Keyshawn Nixon in general. Like, that's one of the issues, is the players aren't good enough. The
goal line stop of the Bears running back at in the playoff game would be a guy that I'd want.
Doesn't that defend Bisaccia more and say it's a personnel problem in Green Bay? You're not giving enough. You're not emphasizing personnel enough.
Well, there's a lot of problems, but here's the thing. He loved Bisaccia, because remember, he came with Bisaccia from Vegas. And Bisaccia not only got him a new gig in Green Bay as a special teams player.
He got him an all-pro corner. Or never mind, he thought he was an all-pro corner.
But then got him a job as a cornerback one and money. So, of course, Keyshawn Nixon's going to love Rich Bisaccia. It doesn't mean Bisaccia is any good as a coordinator.
But we have to acknowledge the possibility that just judging him based on his unit is not a complete look at how quality of a coach and leader he is. That's a little myopic. Did he call for Brandon McManus to miss the field goal? Hey, Dobbs, go drop the onside. That's the play. Of course not. So those things aren't a reflection of his ability to coach, are they?
Well, but we don't know, like, when McManus was kind of hurt and they played him anyway, did he lobby to say McManus is the guy and he sent him out there hurt instead of the school teacher who was doing good as a fill-in?
He wasn't doing mystery kicks or whatever he did that.
We don't know that. There was a long enough run where the special teams were shit and he should have been swapped out because he's just a coach, just a special teams coach. These things get swapped out like air fresheners around the league. And the Packers, being the nice franchise, were nice. Oh, we can't fire anybody. No, we love Rich. They held on to this guy, and then he fucked them by leaving after the hiring cycle was over. And now they're spinning it. Oh, my God.
Luckily
for us, any replacement-level coordinator, Butchie, will probably be better. So at the end of the day, embarrassing as it is, I think the Packers have upgraded. So
I don't know if they've upgraded. They need to get out of their own way with half what they're doing. That's
like
the problem. They need to
look themselves in the
They haven't been above that in like 10 years, so there's no guarantee they'll be better.
Right. Well, they need to look themselves in the mirror and be honest. I've said this for a long time. Be real and be honest about what you're saying, what you're doing, and they're not. They live in this bubble of we are the Green Bay Packers.
They do live in a bubble. Now,
and we look like, no, stop. Look at the change. Look in the mirror and say, are we doing what we need to get done? The answer, if you want the real answer, the answer is no, you're not.
Right. But they also, Butchie, never feel the sting of getting ripped by a pack of media wolves. Newspapers, columnists, talk show hosts, because the whole ecosystem is based on sort of a quasi.
Well, everybody's afraid that their, coverage rights are going to be ripped away, and they're this and that. Like,
there's just a lot of fan podcasts out there that don't ever want to be kicked out of the Magic Cheese Kingdom.
Well, that's what it is. I don't think it's the beat writers. I think the beat asks good questions every press conference.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I know we got yelled at.
Okay, but it doesn't matter. These guys aren't going to say anything that people want to hear anyway when they lose.
We got yelled at.
What do we get yelled at for, Butchie?
We got called in the principal's office for some hard stuff about the Packers.
Hard takes at times,
Not me. I don't know what you're talking about. You've got in trouble.
Well, you weren't part of the show meetings, Armin. You were on a different show.
No. But that's my point. Like, if we're getting slapped on the wrist, others are having the same conversation. That's my point.
But I think every other market has this problem. I think it's a Packers-only
maybe we should evaluate how we're saying things. And I'm like,
by the way, how about Malik Willis about to get paid $30 million a year?
Someone's going to overpay him. I can't wait. Oh.
Thank God it's not the Pack, right?
Well, that's what they said about Sam Darnold, Arnold. Someone's going to overpay him.
Yeah. You know what's funny? I love Malik. I love Malik, and he's a great backup. But it is funny that when they went in, the perspective and the expectation is so different. So he seems so much better than what I think, you know, people expected nothing from him. And he, like, wow, look, this team's moving the ball. When you really look at it, they scored, like, the games he started, not that many points, and they're mostly
this
running.
It sounds like you're salty a little bit about it.
I think he's doing what's best for him, and that's getting money as a starter, but I don't think he's going to be Sam Darnold in all this. I don't think he's bad, but I think he found his spot in Green. It's like Matt Flynn. I don't think Matt Flynn was good when he went to Seattle, but he was a great backup in Green Bay. So,
all right, two things real quick before we jump out of here. And, Butchie, I appreciate your time early this morning out there in Oregon. Game tonight is on where?
I think this is BTN.
Beautiful.
Oh, you can always catch it on the Varsity Network app. You can listen to me and Matt LePay. So.
There you go. All right. The Bears maybe to Indiana, although breaking news, Armin, late this morning, it looks like Pritzker has put together a deal to maybe keep him at Arlington Heights. You have family in Chicago. You go there all the time. Even though you're a Milwaukee kid, you are a, I think, high-level Chicagoist. You understand the city very well. How do you feel about the current situation? What do you think?
Well, I love this. I love the turmoil there in that sense because, of course, I don't like the Bears. I want to see them squirm and cry. And deep down, no matter what they say, what brave face they put on, Bears fans would be devastated if they went to Hammond, Indiana. However, I have long thought, and I still believe, that this was nothing but pressure being put on to Pritzker and Arlington to finally get it done.
Sure.
Every time it gets close but not close enough, they throw out something new about Hammond. The reality is they're going to end up in Arlington. Pritzker has to get it done. The Bears will let them. But it's been so much fun to crack off jokes for a week about the Hammond Bears because I absolutely love it, let me tell you.
You know, Butchie, what they call Hammond and that part of Indiana? Do you know what its nickname is?
I don't. I've driven through it enough.
The region. It's called the region. You've heard that, right, Armin?
Somewhat.
Yeah, the region. And it looked like one of the most desolate industrial, like it was a screenshot from Fallout 6, the video game type places. It's creepy and depressing. But there is a term for the women from that area called region rats.
I never heard that.
I got a buddy, Paulie I, who said he once almost got married to a region rat chick.
I never heard that.
Running around with region rats from northern Indiana.
Northwest Indiana is definitely part of Chicagoland, though, and they think of themselves that way.
All right, this is a video thing, so you're going to have to find it your own on social media. The Brewers social media team has been on fire. They put out this short video clip of Jacob Mizorowski, their now second-year flame-throwing 6'7" monster of a starting pitcher, plucking an apple off the head of fellow pitcher Quinn Priester, who sat with his back to the mound. Oh, my God, look at this video now. I've been told it's been done with some trickery. Do you guys know how they did it?
I thought trickery right away. There's no way the Brewers are letting two of their starting pitchers do this where you can knock what, like, it's not happening.
Come on, Zabe. You're better than that. You know this is fake. They're not going to let, yeah, you're right, Butch. They're not going to let Miz potentially kill their teammate. Come on.
Correct.
You were the first one to teach me, Zabe, that everything is a work on the internet.
Yeah, you should first expect that it's a work, but it's so well filmed.
So well done.
I went looking for the seams in the carpet where they had stitched it together.
Well, see, it's where the apple falls in the knee.
Oh, is that
if you look at it, it's very unnatural. Look at the way the apple.
No, that's not unnatural.
Yeah, that's not a regular bounce off the knee.
You see chunk of the apple right there flying apart.
The shrimp. Now, why does it fall? Yeah, that's natural, actually. I think that's not
because he just nipped the apple. Now, maybe the apple should have exploded more.
I think it looks fake, but whatever. It looks great for a fake, but
I think the trajectory of it looks like it goes up halfway through. Here's my theory on how they did it. You ready? That box that Priester is sitting on, it has a pole or a post behind his back that is able to put an apple on top of it.
Okay.
And they filmed, what's his name, throwing it at the post, Miz, at the post without Priester there until he got one where he plucked the apple clean off.
Sure.
They then digitally inserted Priester onto the box. He's hiding the post behind him that has the apple on.
I mean, that makes sense. I mean, I bet it's a lot simpler than we assume to edit this.
I was going to say, you guys put a lot of thought into that. I said, hey, pretty cool. Good job.
So what's your theory, Butchie?
My theory, it's fake. I haven't, to be honest, AI given fake? Any thought to why or how, but yeah.
It could be anything. There's fake stuff all over the internet. I saw Trump playing hockey the other day. Come on.
Yeah, but that was AI.
Well, if it's an AI, it's one of something right. Variation there, facsimile thereof.
All right, Butchie, can you please right now spend 5 seconds putting your big Gronk brain to this and think, what do you think the trick was?
I think they put the app on the head. Then I think they threw something at it. From close range.
Okay.
That wasn't going to hurt them. And then they have Miz on the background throwing later on. I don't think there's a whole elaborate stick apple. I don't think it's that complicated.
Huh. Maybe they just.
I think someone's probably kneeling behind them.
My opinion is that the way the apple bounces off the knee is unnatural. Therefore, the person was never really there, you know? The apple was never on a person's head. That's my theory.
All right. Will the social media team for the Brewers, who has been killing it, by the way, they did a whole Sal Frelick GTA video game mock-up of him. Like he was a video game character walking through the facility, getting ready to take batting practice and whatnot. Will they reveal their trick?
No. No, they will not.
Okay. All right, boys. Anything else to add before we send everyone on their way?
I have one thing to add, Butch. I want you to know, first of all, I miss both you guys. It's great to talk to you. But I want to say one thing, Butch. I would never get here and cheer against the Badgers, so I'm not doing that. But I really want you to be in Zay Vegas. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not cheering against the Badgers, but I really want you to be in Zay Vegas. And for all you there, I will be at the Excalibur Buffet Thursday morning to have breakfast. You're not going to – this is my Vegas, and I'm doing it, okay?
I love it. Butchie, it would be so great to have you. You know, I may have University of Maryland analyst Chris Nockey coming to this.
Oh, really? So, okay.
Former D1 coach who had a point shaving scandal happen under his watch, under his nose at American back in the 90s before all of this exploded. If he can come out and you guys could just hoist a beer, he will tell you some stories, my friend.
Oh, you mean Maryland's not making the tournament?
No,
I was going to say I'll catch him in Chicago in 2 weeks, but I don't. I think they'll play on Tuesday. I don't think Wisconsin's playing until Thursday.
Maryland playing on Tuesday. Maryland may fax in their actual result to the Big Ten tournament.
Hey, Butch, is it my imagination or is Marquette playing better? They're showing growth. Come on.
No, they're playing better. They are. Like, that's part of the thing.
It's been a really terrible year for Marquette fans, but they're showing growth the last few weeks. Nigel James and Adrian Stevens.
How do you keep the guys that have grown?
You got to pay Nigel and Adrian. They're going to do it. They're gonna do Portal now. They said they have to.
I saw that story.
They were going to do Portal again in November when I talked with Shockey.
I wish they would give him credit for trying. Everyone wants to complain about Portal and NIL, but no one else wanted to try and put their money where their mouth is. It only took one season of losing for everyone to get tired of a principle.
Right. Marquette's given up on this pure approach in today's day and age. It was going to be Shaka and what's his name at Clemson in football?
Dabo
and Shaka will be the last two, you know, keepers of the flame of we're going to recruit guys and we're going to develop them. Okay.
There's only two guys I know of. All I can think about is what Butch would have made because there's only two guys I know of. Now there are probably more. They got a scholarship offer in eighth grade. John Shire got an offer from Crean, and Butch got one at UW Green Bay.
Yeah. Butchie missed out on both an NIL bonanza
and a long
NBA career where he would have been six fouls pre-installed every night, seven-footer who can shoot the ball, would have played 15 years in the league. But he's still a happy.
But you never would have met me. And we would have been on Butch's. We would have been on Butch's yacht. Okay, yacht. At his lake, right. At the lake, at his yacht.
Not his nice little pontoon boat. Which
would have been a yacht.
Yeah,
but it would have changed him, Armin.
And I'll tell you one thing. I wouldn't be in Eugene, Oregon, for a week.
Right. You never would have known us, Butch. And aren't you happy the way it turned out?
I'm thrilled, Armin. I'm thrilled.
All right.
Life is good.
Boys, great to talk to you. Thank you for taking time. We'll check in soon, all right? March is coming.
Good talking.
All right, boys.
Okay, let me end on some Penn State podcast follow-up. Tremendous response, and I appreciate everybody who reached out to me. And definitely some different angles on it. Let me just read you some of the emails. This one from Scott Cluthier in Wilmington, Delaware. Steez. Oddly, I really enjoyed the off-topic pod with John Ziegler on the whole Sandusky incident at Penn State. The one thing I know for sure is that he could litigate this out for Sandusky if he needed, because he believes everything he says, and he puts the whole thing into reasonable doubt category, I think, very well. It was a fun listen, even though the topic was a bit dark. Along those lines, I've been enjoying the lightly sports pods of late as well that are mostly other stuff, like the times when you have on the man about film, Matt Miller. Thanks for continuing the great content, respectfully, Scott. You're welcome. Steve, I listened to your episode with Mr. Ziegler discussing the Sandusky scandal and fallout. I believe I listened with an open mind, but by the end of the episode, he had not done much to convince me of his position. First of all, that was 30 minutes. He's done 58 hours or more in his With the Benefit of Hindsight. So you're not going to, this was not meant to say, hey, I want to convince you that Sandusky is innocent type 30-minute podcast. In fact, I need to clarify this. Even though Ziegler believes Sandusky is innocent, or at least it was not proven beyond a reasonable doubt that he was an actual sexual assaulter, criminal, accuser, molester, predator, rapist, struggling for the words here. Even though that's what Ziegler concludes, I'm not there. My general feeling is I think he's probably guilty. I think in the group of the 10 accusers, I think there's some opportunists and some people who stretched the truth or said, you know what, here's a payday. But I didn't listen to all the testimony and really, really weigh the facts as if I was on the jury. I sort of tapped out. So let's put that out there. My general feeling is I have a hard time believing Sandusky is innocent. However, I know that Joe Pa got a raw deal. That I will stand on 10 toes. Joe Pa got run out in a totally ridiculous way in really a moral panic. So that's my final net-net position. This emailer goes on to say, I've learned enough through the years to understand that grand juries are sometimes flimsy. Prosecutors can try multiple times to find a group to recommend charges, nor is the grand jury conclusion that the person is guilty, just that there's enough to further investigate. I also understand political agendas as well, but here are a couple things that made me doubt Ziegler's position. He said he is 100% right, and every witness or party involved in the prosecution is lying. He's too zealous in his position. In my experience in life, no one is 100% right. I don't know if that's how I took John's stance on this. I think John was just saying, in my opinion, I do not believe. There's no way do I believe that he actually did it. I don't know if he was saying, I am 100% right. He was convicted in his own opinions, having done all the research and spent hours and hours and hours and months and years of his life looking at this thing. Secondly, he said he put forward proof of Sandusky's innocence, the fact that he hated Joe Paterno, and that he must not be guilty or he would have had some kind of sympathy after he died or for ruining his career. I don't think that was a de facto, this proves he's innocent. I think it was just another little anecdotal point of light in the whole thing. Anyhow, Keith and Frederick is the emailer who said, thanks for all your hard work. I enjoy the podcast. I hope somehow Someone has the brains to put you back on the radio sometime. You are much better than most of the shows I hear. Well, thank you very much, Keith. This one from Mark in Caledonia, Wisconsin. Hi, Zabe. I definitely did not skip yesterday's pod with John Ziegler, and I'm glad I didn't. Thank you for having him on, as the content itself was fascinating, but it also highlighted some of the larger issues our culture has now, which carry over to areas well beyond sports. I was immediately taken by his enthusiasm for his area of expertise and his utter conviction for his stance. Before he even got to the facts, and credit where it's due, he came with all the facts. I found myself buying into him. It brought me back to the classic facts versus volume bit. Now, in the end, I believe that Ziegs produced volume and facts, but the sad truth is the original Sandusky case was won by volume, as are so many stories today. It got me thinking then about how we consume content today and how it's nearly impossible to discern fact from fiction or navigate complex layers and stories with the gray areas that you describe. Oh, yeah. I believe that so many things in life swim in oceans of gray, and that there is not binaries of yes or no, or positive or negative, or right or wrong. A lot of times it's both. Joe Pa could have gotten the wrongest deal ever on a moral panic and a stampede to claim the high ground in public by those at the institution, and Sandusky could have been dead-ass guilty and a horrible monster who deserves to die in jail. That makes things muddy and gray, right? Because they're overlapping. It's not clean. Speaking of narratives, Ziegs made a tie into Penn State and COVID that actually seems to apply to many sports as well. Once a said narrative developed, our society digs in its heels more and more. Question anything, it is dubbed extremist. The Sandusky case not going as planned? Well, we just need to keep investigating then. Yeah, replay. Or COVID. I mean, look, narratives are all that news is these days. It's crafted narratives. And you have to sort through them yourself. You have to make up your own mind. Believe me, there's plenty of media institutions, outlets, and sources that are more than happy to tell you what to think. And there are so many non-playable characters out there in the world, or NPCs as they're called, who don't want to think, who just want to be told, what do I think about this? Somebody went on a college campus, little man on the street, viral video, this young gal, and she was asking co-eds, what'd you think of Trump's State of the Union speech last night, rated on 1 to 10? And she got at least 4 or 5 people to go, 1, 0, terrible. And she's like, why? Well, she did it on Monday, and the speech was not until Tuesday. This is on college students really jumping in to go, oh, yeah, it sucked. That thing sucked. What? Oh, it's tomorrow. Oh, okay. It's not a positive indicator for the future state of society. This one, good morning, Zabe. I thoroughly enjoyed the podcast about Penn State. Extremely informative and eye-opening. And I really loved the end of the opposite song. I really loved the end of the episode. Slow down, Zabe. I love the end of the episode with your song by Warren Zevon, Lawyers, Guns, and Money. Chef's Kiss. Yes, I chose that for a reason, because of that specific line that's kind of buried in the middle of that song. Bring lawyers, guns, and money. Then there was this from Anthony O'Hara. He had emailed me before when I had John Ziegler on years ago to talk about this case. He included that email and said, I am now renewing my previous objection with a bit more emphasis. Calling John Ziegler the foremost expert on the Sandusky crime is complete fucking bullshit. It's like calling a flat earther the foremost expert in geospatial technology. He isn't an expert in anything other than spewing conspiratorial bullshit. The foremost experts are the guys who sign their names to the criminal complaint under penalty of perjury. Talk to those guys, and they'll recount their experience with this investigation like Captain Quint telling his story of the USS Indianapolis. I await your interview with 9/11 truthers for the upcoming 25th anniversary. They have as much credibility. Might as well give them a microphone and 30 minutes too. Well, you know, Anthony, that people lie. People commit perjury. Officials commit perjury. Police, prosecutors, lawyers, government officials. You can't just say, well, they signed their name to a criminal complaint. And the tone of the voice, I'll get to that in a second. I replied, I go, so are you fluent in this case? Like, can you really speak to all the things that don't add up or aren't quite in line? Mr. O'Hara responded, I'm not fluent in it. I read the grand jury report, some of the trial transcripts, but this isn't something that takes up a lot of space on my hard drive. Okay. I'm comfortable with the fact that this case was heard by a grand jury, a criminal jury, and multiple appeals courts that all concluded Sandusky is a rapist. Well, the appeals courts don't decide on guilt or innocence, as you know. They just decide upon was the defendant given a fair and equitable trial. That's what appeals courts do. But you knew that, I'm sure, Anthony. There's not much gray in that. Okay. The conversation with the trooper is what I remember, but I don't really recall the details he shared. What I remember was his demeanor and tone while talking. The guy had investigated all manner of heinous crimes, and this one broke his soul. He's far more of an expert than John Ziegler. Okay, if that's what you want to go on. Again, I can't get there on Sandusky being innocent at the end of the day, but I know this. I listened to 2/3 of the very long podcast and kind of got into it. And by the way, this is not the only true crime podcast that has divided people. There is one about the case in Wisconsin. The name is escaping me now. There's one about the case in South Carolina, like a family murder. And they were both very popular because people got into them and they enjoyed being in the weeds of the details and the ambiguity and the areas of gray. So this is nothing new. Finally, this one from Lisa Perkins. By the way, the student lawyer, Zabe, who stood up to the Duke lacrosse team that you mentioned as a reference of, you know, sometimes there is prosecutorial injustice, the likes of which we have a hard time understanding. Lisa Perkins emails to say, you know, the student lawyer who stood up to the team, stood up for the team, I should say, when everyone was rushing to send these Duke boys to jail for rape, was Stephen Miller. Yes, that Stephen Miller, who is the very polarizing but certainly quite confident special assistant, I believe, to Trump. Try to find his actual staff title at the moment. A Homeland Security advisor, Stephen Miller. Yes, he was on that early on when he was at Duke. He was a student lawyer going, whoa, whoa, whoa. Remember, the narrative of the Duke case was privileged white boys, athletes, and a hardworking black prostitute or stripper, rape. It was a story too good to even check if it was true for some people that love that narrative, that wanted it to be true. And it's sad that people want certain things to be true because it will fit their worldview of affluent white lacrosse players from New Jersey are inherently evil, and if they're found guilty of a crime of raping a minority, yay, justice is done. Is it true? I don't care if it's true. I want that to be the thing. Again, sometimes things get whipped up into a big momentum, a charge, a stampede, a virtual stampede, a social and moral panic, a case of mass psychosis, which is what I think COVID and the response to COVID was. And at that point, you're cooked. It's like in The Simpsons monorail episode, one of the greatest episodes of that long-running series with the great Lyle Landley, the monorail pitchman, selling the town of Springfield on something they didn't need. The line always sticks with me. Too late, Marge. The mob has spoken.
There's nothing on earth like a genuine, bona fide, electrified six-car monorail. What'd I say?
Monorail.
What's it called?
Monorail.
That's right, monorail.
Monorail. Monorail. Monorail.
I hear those things are awfully loud.
It glides as softly as a cloud. Is there a chance the track could bend?
Not on your life, my Hindu friend.
What about us Brendan slobs?
You'll be given cushy jobs.
Were you sent here by the devil?
No good, sir, I'm on the level.
The ring came off my pudding can.
Take my penknife, my good man. I swear it's Springfield's only choice. Throw up your hands and raise your voice.
Monorail.
What's it called?
Monorail.
Once again.
Monorail.
Street's still all cracked and broken.
Sorry, Mom, the mob has spoken.
Monorail! Monorail! Monorail!
Monorail!
Mono, don't!
Thanks for listening. See you next time on the Zabecast. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.